Worship, about worship, and it kind of tags along with what Stephen shared. I think it's from Hebrews chapter 1 a few weeks ago about how we offer our lives up as a living sacrifice to God. And this is from Hebrews 13, and it kind of tags on that. And Paul, I believe, is talking about Jesus, how he's the ultimate sacrifice. And I think we can all testify to that Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. He's the one who paid the way for us to enter into the glorious relationship we have now. And here in, this is the Passion Translation. Hebrews 13:15. So we no longer offer up a steady stream of blood sacrifices, but through Jesus, we offer up to God a steady stream of praise sacrifices. Can you guys give a little praise sacrifice right now? Yeah. Maybe a clap, a cheer, a shout. These are the lambs we offer from our lips that celebrate his name. These are the lambs we offer from our lips that celebrate his name. Every time we even speak the name of Jesus, every time we declare the name of Jesus over our situation, over what life has brought us, we are giving praise to the King of Kings, to the God who has freed us from the law of sin and death. And so as we worship this morning, if you guys would stand to your feet, if we just enter in this morning and we believe that every word that comes from our mouth is praise to God, give it to him in that way. Father, as we enter in this morning, we're just trusting you, God, to pour out revelation, to pour out truth, to pour out your spirit, to restore the brokenhearted and heal the sick. And we just trust you, God. We just release the prophetic over this house. We release the glory of heaven, the manifestations of healing and of the Holy Spirit. And we just look to you, God, our source, our provider, for everything this day and this time, in Jesus' name.
Glory. We have come to give. His praise. We have come to give you glory. We have come to give you praise.
You're welcome.
You're welcome in this place. Welcome in this place. Welcome in this place. You're welcome in this place. Welcome in this place. Welcome in this place. You're welcome in this place. Welcome in this place. Welcome in this place. You're welcome in this place. Welcome in this place. Welcome in this place.
Keep going. Have your way.
Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way.
Have your way.
shout out, shout out, oh bless the Lord, oh my soul, and let all that's within me shout out, shout out, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and let all that's within me shout out, shout out, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and let all that's within me shout out, shout out.
Shadows, you gave
world a light to follow. A hope that shines beyond tomorrow.
This is who our God is.
Your love goes on. Your love goes on. You carry us when the world gives way. You cover us with your endless grace. Your love is relentless. Your love is relentless. I will believe. I remind myself of all that you've done and the life I have because of your Son. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours.
There's somebody that needs to remind themselves of that. That it's going to take a conscious effort on your part to remind yourself that you're His. That His love came down. He came down. He is love, and He rescued you. And you're in the midst of something, and you just need a reminder. And it needs to be loud enough to go over the noise of what the world is saying. Over the noise, sometimes what your own mind is saying. It's taking every thought into captivity into the obedience of Christ. Singing out and reminding yourself, you're His. You're His. All your days, every single day. Not just on Sunday or when it's a good day, but in every day you have to remind yourself, you're His. And sometimes that's getting really loud when you have to just get really loud to remind yourself to go over the top of the noise of your own head or what anybody else is saying, or just remind yourself. One drop would have been enough, but He gave it all for you.
Love came down.
Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out in my soul.
Reject. We're never unwanted. We're never unloved. Never, never. But God, you're a God of always, always, every day, ever the same, never changing. God, your love remains. Thank you, Jesus.
Lynette stole what I was going to say. The Lord did. The Lord was wanting you to hear this. Whether it be one, whether it be all, the Lord wants this word for you. He is yours. Scripture tells us He sings over us. We sing about Him singing over us. And this is His response. He sings, "My child, you are my beloved, and I am yours. Just receive me. Just open up. Just say, welcome here. He is ours. Just tell Him He's welcome. Just tell Him, even if you can't say it, your spirit will cry out to Him for you. Because He's ours. And He wants to be ours. Every day, every minute, every hour, whether we're good, whether we're bad, whether we're beautiful, whether we're ugly, whether we are just a quivering puddle of flesh laying on the floor, he's ours. And that's what he wants, is for us to just say, you're welcome here. Come, I am yours and you will be mine.
With your love.
Your joy around me. You surround me with your love. With your love. With your love. With your
yours, we want you.
you. We want you. We love you. We'll never stop. Can't live without you, Jesus. We love you. We can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. We love you. We'll never stop. Can't live without you, Jesus. We love you. We can't get enough. All this is for you,
Chorus of this song says, can't live without you. How many of you can identify with the fact that you weren't alive until you gave Jesus your life, till you allowed him in? So I think that's the heart we need to approach this with. We want to sing that again. We love you.
We love you. We'll never stop. Can't live without you, Jesus. We love you. We can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus.
I was sitting back there worshiping. You guys were everywhere else. I really felt like Stephen came home after worship practice this morning, and the first thing that I said to him was, today is a bad pregnancy day. And I'm like, that probably wasn't very positive as he's walking through the door, you know, to hear. And it was kind of just one of those days where it's just easier to be at home. And I certainly have a good excuse to, if I wanted to stay home. But anyway, I was super frustrated, not at anything necessarily, just in general. And the second that I got here and like really started worshiping, I was just like, can breathe. Like, it feels so good to come into the presence of the Lord. And not that he wouldn't have been there at my house if I would have started worshiping, but when we set aside a time, or when we stop and, you know, we're here, this is what we're doing, obviously, but when we take the time to say, okay, God, I'm here, you're here, let me just be in the presence of God. There was such a sweetness this morning, and it's like every single song, God was saying, just as you are, come to me just as you are, and I love you anyway. And I was thinking, you're such a good God, because my attitude was so bad this morning, and I was just grumpy, and, you know, it's not like I lashed out at anybody or anything, but it was just a grumpy, just my heart, it was just not okay. And so I'm like sitting back there thinking, I'm just going to be vulnerable and say, sometimes as a pastor, as, you know, whoever, we're all human, sometimes we don't necessarily want to be here, and it's not because we don't love people. It's not because, it's just sometimes we're all human and we just feel like it's easier to not be in the presence of God. It's easier to hide in a corner or do whatever. But God's calling us to stop where we are and to say, here I am. God, all that I am is yours. However I am today, good, bad, ugly, whatever it is, God, I'm still yours. Even though I know He probably was looking at my heart and thinking, okay, we need a little work today. We need some encouragement today. I know He met me here, and He's so, so good, and He's so, so sweet, and His presence, it just wipes away everything. And there's such a goodness in coming before the Lord and saying, okay, God, here's all of the ugliness that I'm bringing to you today. And He doesn't care. That's the thing. He doesn't care that what you're bringing Him, as long as your heart is there, that's what He wants. And so I just want to encourage you guys today, if anyone else was struggling, I know I have a couple pregnant friends or, you know, just had babies and stuff, but even if you don't have hormone issues, if you're struggling today, if you need a touch from the Lord, if you need God to say, you know, I love you just the way that you are, just you coming to me is all that I need. I can tell you, I felt such an outpouring of love this morning from the Lord, because I was saying, here it is, God. You love me no matter what, so here it is. And I just want to encourage you guys. I just think we need to just play through this one more time. I'm sorry. I do that every time I transition. They're going to stop asking me. But I feel like we just need to come before the Lord as we are and sing this. The thing that I love about this song, can you go to... I'm not even sure what the words are, to a different one. Come and consume God, all we are. Can we sing this like as in a personal firsthand? That's how I sing it to the Lord every time. And this is such a hard, sometimes it's a faith statement. Sometimes we're saying this just purely out of faith because we don't necessarily feel it. But the more that I sing this over myself, the more that my spirit says, yes, absolutely. The more God says, I'm pouring that into you. No matter what you're offering me, I'm pouring it into you. So let's just sing this to the Lord for a couple minutes.
Come and consume me, all I am. Give you permission. My heart is yours. I want you. I want you. God, all I am, I give you permission. My heart is yours. I want you. I want you. Come and consume, God, all I am. I give you permission. My heart is yours. I want you. I want you. God, all I am, I give you permission. My heart is yours. I want you. I want you. Come and consume, God. All I am, I give you permission. My heart is yours. I want you. I want you. We love you. for you, Jesus. My soul and all my thoughts,
Jesus.
My life is for you. Consume me with your love,
Jesus.
Consume me with your love,
Jesus.
Consume me with your love.
Thank you, worship team, and thank you for your obedience to the Lord today. That was definitely a much needed worship time. You're cutting me off. That's okay. No worries. This morning, I wanted to talk to the women for a second about our 31 Women event coming up this next Saturday. We're meeting at Northtown Coffee House at 8:45. I should tell everyone 8:30, that way they'll be there at 8:45. But we're meeting, if you guys are going to get like coffee or a pastry or something, you'll want to show up extra early because sometimes they're not staffed enough to get everyone through the line, and we only have 1 hour. And someone's coming in right at 10, so we want to be sure to be respectful of their time as well. So it's $3, and... I heard people were wondering why it's still $3. And so the reason why we're charging $3, even though we're not offering breakfast, is one, it still costs us to rent the room. It's a $10 fee for just 1 hour. So, you know, a portion of that will go to cover that. And the other thing is that we're always doing fundraisers for whatever our outreach is. And sometimes we don't have enough to cover the outreach. I know the first outreach that we did, the very first one, the school supplies, we didn't have enough to cover it, so it took a couple months to get that, you know, up to where we were supposed to be to cover all of that. So anyway, so that's why it's $3. This time, when you pay your $3 admission, that will go to a portion, you know, to cover our $10 fee for the room. And then the rest of it is going to go to the Sunrise House, which we've been talking about. It's a home for girls. There's four girls there, and they're age 14 to 17. And they are, it's a recovery home for girls who have been in human trafficking in our valley. And it's a Christian-based home. And what we're going to do is purchase, they're called Ipsy boxes, I-P-S-Y. And they're beauty products. They're beauty products. And basically, we're going to go through and have each of the girls customize their little kit. And every month, it'll ship to, you know, the founder. And he'll go through it and make sure everything's appropriate and stuff. And then each of the girls every month will get this special box of stuff that's just catered to them. And so we thought that'd be something really super special for these girls. That normally it's $10 a month, so for four girls per year, I think it was $440 or something like that. And, you know, I don't know, but anyway, I know the stats, but anyway, so we need to earn another $360 to cover those for 1 year. So, if you'd like to donate to that, you're more than welcome to, obviously, connect with me anytime, or you can come and participate, and part of your $3 admission or whatever will go to help with these boxes for this month. We're also going to be doing other fundraisers in, I guess it's already March, so toward the end of the month we'll be doing other fundraisers if you'd like to participate in another way with those. We're still working out the details, but we'll keep you posted on that. If you guys have any questions about any of that, come and see me after. Was there anything else that I'm... 6 o'clock tonight downstairs, we're having our tapping in meeting. I think it's supposed to be an hour, right? Knock on wood. So anyway, tonight at 6 o'clock, they've been really, really good. I've only been to one, but Stephen went to one and he said that one was good too. So we're really receiving from them. And it's, if you guys don't know what it is, basically we're coming and whatever God is putting on Mike and Gaylene's hearts about, you know, what our church is going through, where we're at. We're basically just having a family discussion about it. We're all sharing our heart where we're at. It's not intimidating at all. It's very family-oriented as far as communication. There is no childcare, so if you guys can find childcare for that, that would be awesome. And is that it? And that's it. Oh, okay, kids. If you're a child, please come up here. We'll pray and dismiss. And of course, Stephen has the baby in the back. I'm like, wherever there's a baby, there's Stephen. Okay, we're almost all girls today. Where's all the boys? My goodness, this is it. All right. Lord, we just pray for these kids. God, we pray that you would touch them today, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just pour out on them in their class today, God, that you would speak individually to each child, God, and that you would bless their little hearts today, God. Help them to receive all that you have for them today. Help them to feel your love, God, and help them to give out your love today. Lord, we have so much we can learn from these kids. The simplicity of their hearts, God, I pray that you would just let them impact our lives, Lord God, as we impact theirs, Lord. In your name we pray, amen.
Where is she? Oh, Stephen's got her. So we have a new member, official member of the church. Julia Scout is in the house. Stephen's holding her. So, yes. 9 pounds, 20 like and a half inches or something? Yeah, something like that. I mean, that's all just details, right? She slept 6 hours last night and 7 the night before. Now, come on. Thank you, Julia. Thank you, Lord. And I'm sure you guys noticed today, but we were blessed with family. Rob and Lynette are here from Kashmir. Haven't seen them for a while. I was telling Rob yesterday, I said, you guys need, he goes, and we just need to come down more often. I said, yes, you do for us. That's supposed to be funny, but evidently. So praise the Lord. Someone was saying, it's been a long time since you preached, Pastor Mike. I said, has it? And I remembered it was the weekend, wasn't the weekend before? Oh, it was 2 weeks before the Super Bowl. So it has been a while, hasn't it? So, but we've had some really good messages by other individuals, and I've been just, you know, enjoying hearing others. And today I have something that I think is going to be relevant and important for us to hear. I don't know exactly how it's all going to go down, but as I read this scripture the other day, it really just kind of really hit my heart, and I wanted to just start chewing on it myself. That's kind of what I do. When I get a scripture, I start, oh, I remember that, and I start going back and looking. If it's a reference to an Old Testament scripture, I'll start reading that and follow a chain of scriptures and then start checking the Hebrew and sometimes the Greek. And but as I was meditating on this, I really feel this message for all of us, and a timely message for this house for whatever reason. I don't always know why, but I just have a real confidence that this is going to be something that's going to bless us and enrich us and challenge us all at the same time. So if you will put your seatbelt on, your tray in the upright position. And, no, we're not landing, so we're taking off. But Matthew 12, if you would turn with me to Matthew 12. And I am going to use the New King James Version today just because of the way that it phrases the main verse that I'm after. And this is a scene of Jesus with his disciples, and this happened a lot. He was out doing things with his disciples, and others would be watching them and just kind of seeing how they would do things, you know, because Jesus was a miracle worker. He was doing all kinds of stuff, so they were watching him, and they were watching his people. And this is one of the times when the people that were watching him weren't really that excited about what his people were doing. So if we go to verse 1, it says, at that time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. He said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yes, I say to you that in this place there was one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Now, I've read this many times and received many different revelations and truths, and there's many through this. There's an understanding that the Sabbath is a gift from God for man, that it's not something that was put on man to have to do so that God would accept and love them. It was a gift to man for man so that he would have rest, he would be able to recuperate, he would be able to be who God has called him to be. And you hear that in this. But that's not what I want to focus on today. I want to focus on the ones who were looking, the ones who were looking for something, the ones who were not looking with the right eyes. I've talked a lot in the last year and a half, a couple of years, about what are we seeing and how do we see and what do we see with? Do we see with our natural eyes? And when we see with our natural eyes, what filters those natural eyes? Is it the past experiences that we've gone through? Is it the understanding of the word we have at the time? Or is it the hurts and pains of the past that we've suffered through? What is it that we see through when we look with our natural eyes? That's hard to say because every day is different. I know that sometimes I see the world and it looks great. Sometimes I see it and it doesn't look so good. Sometimes I see people and they look great. Other times I see and they don't look so good. And that's because I'm looking with my natural eyes. But God has given us another set of eyes. God has given us spiritual eyes. And those spiritual eyes, I believe, don't get filtered as much. I believe that they're seeped in truth. And when we tap into our spiritual eyes or our spiritual sight or spiritual revelation, however you want to put it, some of you are trying to picture eyes on me that are spiritual on yourself. They're eyes of faith. They're eyes that see the spirit environment of God. They see the spirit workings of God. They see behind the scenes. And that's what was going on here. There was a behind the scenes that was going on. Because to the law eye, to the pharisaical eye, they were in the wrong. They were doing something that they were not supposed to do because they were working on the Sabbath. They were harvesting something to eat. And you're not supposed to do that, excuse me, in the law. You are to rest on the Sabbath. You're to not carry your beast, you know, on the Sabbath. There's things that they had that were long lists, and the Pharisees were trapping Jesus and his disciples in one of those lists. But Jesus says, now hold on here. Let's go back. You want to talk about the scriptures? Let's talk about the scriptures. Let's talk about when David took his men who were hungry into the temple, and I think it was about a week old bread is what it was. It had already been set aside, but nobody was supposed to eat it. And David said, hey, my men are pure, they're hungry, can we get this food? Because he was running from Saul, and he was just in a bad spot. And the priest said, okay, you can have it as long as you guys are pure, and he checked the condition of their heart. See, that was the key. What was going on there was the condition of their heart. What was going on there is that they were hungry. But the Pharisees didn't see that. What the Pharisees saw with their natural eyes, mind you, they weren't using their spiritual eyes. They were using the eyes of judgment. Now, why do I say this? Because I believe that we're in a day when if we use our natural eyes, we're going to be judging each other and not judging each other properly and judging others improperly. Because it's not about just our conduct all the time. It's what's going on in our heart, folks. Sometimes our conduct is because our heart is wounded and broken. Sometimes our conduct is because our heart is joyful and exhilarated. And sometimes, as David did when he danced his crazy dance coming into Jerusalem, bringing the ark, he was a little bit undignified. Or a lot undignified. His wife said, basically, you're dancing naked before the ladies. You know, you're exposing yourself. He was going crazy because his heart was so full of joy. And she saw at that point what? She saw the exterior of him and not seeing his heart. And he said, all the more I'm going to dance before the Lord if I have this opportunity. And that poor woman was cursed because of that. She was not able to, I believe, have children, if I remember right. It was, I believe, a barrenness that came to her. Who's ever in the scriptures right now? Where's Pastor Dan? I don't see him, because he would say, yep, that's right. Or he'd say, oh, you're all wet. Anybody else remember? I think that was the case. But she had cursed herself by judging David wrongly. That was pretty powerful back then. So what I would like to do now is turn in another place where this scripture is, in Hosea 6:6. And I believe this is going to give us a little more insight, because sometimes Jesus used scripture and he would use part of it, but if you go to that, you see him quote things, you go to the scripture, all of a sudden more light and more revelation comes. And I believe that's the case with this scripture. This is one of the times that a prophet, which many times it happened, is speaking judgment upon Israel and Judah. And right in the middle of it, he makes a statement. And the statement is to let them know, guys, I'm not so interested in all the things that you do when your heart's not right. I'm interested in your heart. And he says this, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice. That's the scripture that Jesus was quoting. And the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. So if you look here, he desires mercy. And what does that word mercy mean? It means the loving kindness of God. Mercy is something that we can give, but I believe mercy's root is in God. I believe kindness is very difficult for us to exhibit in our own selves. I know for me, if I'm in my own self, not in Christ, I can be very unkind at times. Now some of you say, Pastor, I can't believe that. Yes, I'm capable of being unkind. But that's because I'm in the natural state. But when I'm in Christ, when I'm in the Spirit, when I'm in his presence, when I'm enjoying him, it's very easy for me to show his loving kindness. So he desires this, though. He desires mercy and not sacrifice. Now, again, that's hard for them to understand back then, because sacrifice was their whole form of worship. We were hearing today about offering a sacrifice from our lips. You know what? God would rather have you giving mercy to others than sacrificing on Sunday with your lips, folks. I'm telling you, right, that's right from the heart of God. If you can't show loving kindness to others, mercy of God to others, sacrifice of your lips, yes, that's fine. But what about what's more important? What about what's the spirit and not necessarily the outward workings of just our natural man? It's all about our heart. It's all about the condition of who we are. It's all about what makes us who we are on the inside. Sometimes we have to check that out. Sometimes we have to do inventory. Sometimes we have to open ourselves up to God and say, shine your light on me and reveal what's going on inside. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. So here again, he's comparing another thing that they were told to do that was part of their worship, it was part of their laws, was burnt offerings. Sometimes they would commit a sin or something, and they, oh, I've got to get some kind of animals, turtle doves, or I've got to bring a sheep, I've got to do something for this sin that I just committed. I've got to give him a burnt offering. But he's letting him know, listen, no. Knowledge of who I am is more than burnt offerings. Understanding who I am and why you're even offering this. What good is it to offer something that you don't even know the source of what you're offering it to? Did you guys hear that? What good is it to continue to give offerings and not really know the source of who you're offering it to? These are important things that I believe Jesus is pointing out. And I believe they're little, you know, stumbling blocks that we can fall over, especially as Christians. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I've heard this statement before, you know, God doesn't hear the prayer of sinners. You know, and I used to hear that, and I used to repeat it because I heard it from other Christians who were older than me in the faith. So I thought, okay, well, that's obviously true. And someone said, wasn't it like he doesn't hear the prayer of the wicked? And I believe that's in Proverbs. But necessarily, a sinner is not necessarily just wicked. I believe wicked is to the core. I believe wicked is someone who is deceitfully tricking and undermining people, knowing the truth. I believe the wicked is something that is not after any truth. And a sinner crying out to God for help, he hears him. He heard me at times when I needed him. I've heard testimonies of people deep in ungodliness. Something happens to their kids or something. God, please help. I need your help. And he moves. And some of us could say, well, that's not fair, you know, because we're serving him and we sometimes pray and he doesn't move for us. You're using the wrong eyes. You're using the wrong perception. You're not seeing who he is by your spirit. God is all light. There is no darkness in him. There is no shadow of turning. There is nothing, no part of him that has any evil in him. So when he answers that prayer and doesn't answer this prayer, he knows what he's doing. We just heard last week Pastor Dan share how he's gone through a very, very difficult time. One that he doesn't understand, one that he did not want. But he is realizing that in the response that he didn't receive, that there's a new level of growth and love that he's understanding of God. And we need to realize that our lives are in his hands. And that they're in a good place. We are safe. No matter what's going on outside, no matter what it looks like might happen in the next moment, someone threatening us, we're in a good place in Christ. Okay, and then one more scripture I'd like to share here. This is in Micah. Six through eight. And this is kind of where I want to end up. Micah. That's like right just almost towards the very end of the Old Testament. Let me see, I can tell you. It's just before Nahum, like you know where Nahum is. How about just after Jonah? 6 through 8, yep. So Micah the prophet, again, after I believe he's talking about judgment coming to Israel again, and the indictment of the Lord is the heading. And this is a question that's being asked of the prophet. What does the Lord require? Verse 6, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? I mean, it sounds like this one's saying, you know, everything that he's asked, if I gave him all of this stuff, this what the Lord needs? And he goes on to answer, and he says, he has shown you, O man, what is good. That word good means good. It means the goodness of life, the goodness of God, the good things that please him. What does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? To do justly. That means to make right decisions. That means to make the right call. That means to not do things that benefit you and you make a call so that it benefits you. In other words, you do what is the honorable thing. And, you know, that's difficult to do in the natural man. This is spirit walking, folks. This is walking in the spirit. This is living a spiritual life. This is seeing with the eyes of faith, not the eyes of the natural man. To do justly. To love mercy. In the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, that Greek word, they use the word agape, unconditional love. Basically, the love of God. So, with the kind of love that God has for us, we're to love mercy. We're to love being kind, godly kindness, and show godly kindness to others. This is above and beyond every sacrifice that we offer, folks. I don't care how many times we go to church. I don't care how many times we read through the Bible. I don't care how much we, you know, tithe. This is above and beyond every single thing. This is getting right into the crux of the matter of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. This is another one of those tag type of scriptures that really sum it up. Make it simple. Not easy, but simple. Be nice if it was easy, wouldn't it? It's not easy. It's easy if we yield to God. It's easy if we surrender our ways. It's easy if we follow through and walk humbly with our God. But if we're trying to do it on our own, we're trying to figure out this calling, this purpose, this destiny, why we're here, what's going on, then we're going to struggle. And we're going to not judge right. And we're not going to love mercy. It's going to take a supernatural walk to fulfill these kind of requirements. Now, are we under requirements to receive his love? Absolutely not. Are we under requirements so that we can be his children? Certainly not. But we're under these requirements because he loves us. We're under these requirements because we are his children. See, it's not that we do these to be, it's that we do these because we are. It's not that we yield to God to get his love, we yield to God because he is love to us. There is no hesitation at any time. We heard it today. He was singing over us love. He was singing over us, his care and his heart over us. And we did not earn that. It doesn't matter if you had a good week or a bad week. He sings over us. But because he sings over us, we do justly. We love mercy, and we walk humbly before our God. And we don't see others who, because of the eyes we're using at that time, judge them because it doesn't look right, just as the Pharisees did to the disciples. Because behind the action can be a heart that you may not see unless you see with your spiritual eyes. Sometimes we don't see the pain that someone's in. Sometimes we don't see the devastation that's in their life that has them still acting out in a way that they don't know how to stop. And yet, at that moment, we speak a judgment over them, and we stop the work of God sometimes. Because they thought they were starting to move in the right direction. But we called out a sin that God wasn't even interested in. He was interested in healing their heart. These are weighty matters, family. They're weighty matters, how we view each other, how we view the world. I would say if you don't see something with your spiritual eyes, you got no business saying anything about it. If you cannot see something in the spirit, you better keep your mouth shut. There's the days of viewing with our natural man and using our reasoning have got to end. There's too many wounded people out there that are sitting in homes and won't even darken these doors because people operated that way. And the Father of lights is saying, children, you have light. Use your light. You have wisdom. Use your wisdom. You have heaven to give you guidance. Use heaven. Don't use this thing up here on its own. There's a spirit of mind that we have that's beyond this natural mind that God wants us to operate in and give to others. See, if we can see someone as God sees them, in the moment that he sees them, not in their past, not even what we think they're going to do in the future because of how they're acting now, but he sees them in the moment a certain way. If we can see them in that moment, then we can speak to them as God would speak to them if he was there. But if we see them through these eyes, if we see each other through these eyes, we will judge each other wrongly. Maybe not now. Maybe not a week from now. But if we continue to see each other, we continue to see through these eyes that deceive us. They deceive us. They deceive us. Why? Because they're connected with natural reasoning. And we're not to lean on our own understanding. One more scripture. I'm lying. Okay, one more. Really quickly, turn with me to Isaiah 11, and then this might be the last scripture. Notice I left up. This is really good, though. We need to hear this final thing. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. That's there for us as well. And his delight is in the fear of the Lord. And listen to this. And he shall not judge, you could say he shall not execute justice by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. Now that's how our Lord operated. And he is our example. And we are not up to being in our own strength to have to accomplish this, because it would be impossible for us to do this ourselves. The only way that we can accomplish this is with the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, all the things that he walked in, which is all the empowerment of Holy Spirit. All the attributes and assets of heaven are at our beck and call. Yet so many of us would rather use what's easy. It's easy to judge with our eyes. It's so simple. You see, you can judge. It's harder to take time. Lord, what are you doing here? I can't tell. And just maybe not say anything and go and seek him in your personal time. Maybe it'll take weeks, maybe months. Before he may give you the glimpse of what he was doing. He may never tell you, but at least you didn't speak what you thought you saw. And that one could keep moving on in a process with God. Now I'm thankful that the disciples had Jesus there, because I don't know, maybe they would have got tripped up. What are we doing? Oh yeah, I mean, oh my goodness. But he said, no, guys, hold on. Let me talk to these. See, I'm afraid if we get in the way and we start telling people, Jesus is going to start speaking up for them. And who's he speaking to? He's speaking to us. Because he does not want his children to stumble. He does not want you to stumble. Guess what? If you can do that, I believe if you start seeing with your spiritual eyes, you're going to have all kinds of people start to see you with their spiritual eyes. Because you're sowing into good field. And you're going to reap what you sowed. You're going to reap the benefit of seeing others differently. Because you know what? God's going to allow others to see you differently. So take the flip side and figure out what that means. You see with the wrong eyes, guess what happened? It comes right back at you. Why? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, you will reap. You plant an apple, you get an apple tree. You plant a weed, do you get an apple tree? You don't. So isn't this good news? It is good news. God's got our number, and he's making sure that we're staying on the straight and narrow. He's reminding us all the time that he loves us with an everlasting love, that we can't escape his love, that we can't do things to lose his love. But he's also reminding us, because I love you, children, because I love you so much, you can live differently. And not just because of that, the demonstration of his love in his son that came and died, was buried, and resurrected into newness of life, that very demonstration is the reason that we can live this kind of call. I wonder how many people heard that prophet say that. How do I even do that? Because all I've known is law. All I've known is sacrifices and offerings. I've known nothing else. It's in Christ that these kind of things can be fulfilled. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. In the Spirit. Outside of the Spirit, his yoke is bondage. Because it's trying to do in your own strength, and it's miserable. So my encouragement to you today is just take a moment and ask God to awaken your spiritual eyes. Father, we do. We come before you right now. We know that you don't ask us to do things, Lord, that you haven't already equipped us and given us the power to do. So right now, Lord, we open up our natural man, Lord, to being infiltrated with our spirit man. That, Lord, that our natural eyes, God, will now have spiritual filters working. Lord, that when we do start to judge, you, Holy Spirit, will come and say, not so fast. We give you permission, Lord, to invade our space. We invited you into this place. We invited you again fresh into our hearts today. But now, Lord, we ask that you would just continue to govern us, continue to lead us, continue to guide us so that we can do justly and we can love mercy and we can walk humbly with you, Lord. We need your help, Lord. We're so excited about the day we live in, but we understand with the day that we live in comes responsibility as well. Help us to be responsible, Lord, to others. Help us to love, Lord, as you would love, with the sight that you have, Lord, not our own natural sight. As Jesus was noted for not judging with his eyes or with his ears, but by the Spirit of God. We just want to walk as you walk, Lord. And we know it's possible. It's not an impossible task. All we have to do is be open for it. We may stumble along the way. We may make some mistakes. But Lord, help us to make it right when we do. Help us to go to that person, ask for forgiveness, restore the relationship, tell them that we didn't see them as God saw them, and release them from that judgment. Lord, we truly want to see the fire of God burning in our lives and burning in the lives of our family and burning in this place in such a way that it consumes all we are and all that's left is you. Just thank you for this day. Thank you, God, for being here with us. Thank you for letting us experience the presence, the manifest presence of God, that it's not something that we have to work hard to achieve. We just have to receive, Lord, who you are. And we do. We receive with gratefulness that you're the God that never leaves. You're the God that never forsakes. You're always with us. And anytime we turn to you, you're there. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord again tonight. Oh, are you closing? Do you have something to? Okay, go ahead.
So tonight we're going to have our tapping in class, and that has been really good. I went to it the first week, and then my wife and I traded off because of the kid. And she went last. No, we didn't go last week because we were out of town. We were playing hooky. Just kidding. So it's been really good. We're going to have it again tonight. So if you want to tap in a little bit more and just, you know, get more of the Lord, I encourage you to come and spend some time with us. That was a good message. Does anybody have any? I mean, it's so relevant to who we are as a community of people, I think. Does anybody have any questions about it or anything like that that maybe you want to ask? I just want to open up the floor real quick for that. No questions. Go for it. You were going to say something. Eleven what? Okay. So anyways, so everybody, come tonight. Have a great day. Bless somebody. If you can look for some trash or whatever, we have another church coming in after us, so let's leave it better than the way we got it this morning. And have a great week.